Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Wake Up to Spirit. I am here live. My name is Celeste Elliott, and I am your host every week. And I have with me today a very, very special guest, my friend, my neighbor, sort of kind of co-worker, Molly Hastings, who lives right down the street from me. I can see her house from my front porch, and yet the only time I see you now, thanks to COVID, is of course on Zoom. So unless I'm walking by and you wave out the window. But I'm so happy to have you on today. So welcome.
Thank you, Celeste. It's just a joy to be here and to be able to have the opportunity to chat with your audience today and just hang out with you.
Yeah.
So much for us.
That's my favorite thing about having guests, is having the opportunity to just kind of chat with my friends. I feel like it's a party every time.
It is today,
that's for sure. Yeah, absolutely. So so I am actually, as we speak, I am getting this ready to share onto the Lilydale Assembly Facebook page, which of course is how we know each other through Lilydale. And so my goodness, I think we met
So I am actually, as we speak, I am getting this ready to share onto the Lilydale Assembly Facebook.
I was not expecting that. So anyway, we had a little feedback there. So, I wanted to, first of all, we have a few people that are going to call in. And if you would like to call in and talk to us live on the air, you can either send us a little message on Facebook, or you can, by typing in, or you can call us on Blog Talk Radio and be live. And that number, as always, is 818-739-8818. And today, Molly, I wanted to let people get a chance to know you a little bit. So I'm excited because you are going to actually be starting your own show.
I am.
On the Lilydale Blog Talk channel.
Yes.
It's very exciting.
Tuesdays at 2.
Tuesdays at 2. Perfect.
Tuesdays at 2. And it'll be starting sometime in June.
Yeah.
And, I have to say, without full disclosure of my age, that I'm a big sister to the baby boomers, and I grew up on radio and then TV and typewriters.
Awesome.
And so I have not yet stuck my toe into the 21st century when it comes to technology, but I feel the push, I think partly from being in quarantine. I told my husband this morning, I finally figured out a way to safely get out of the house.
Yes.
Okay. That's true. Boom, and a website, and a Facebook page, and a radio show. And I'm just feeling like I'm stepping into a brand new classroom. Mm-hmm. And I'm confident that with your guidance and others here, that I'm going to be able to push buttons and give people's lives.
Oh, it's going to be brilliant. Perfect. So, so why don't you tell us, if you're comfortable, a little bit about, because I like to always ask my guests, how did you're a registered medium here And how did you come to, did you come to spiritualism first, or did you come to mediumship first, or how, what was your journey, your spiritual journey like over the course of your life?
Okay. It has been an absolutely unexpected journey. But if I go back to childhood and then I fast forward many, many years until now, it makes sense because, you know, I'm often asked, you know, when did you realize that you were a medium and that you had something to offer that way? And the answer is all my life and 7 years ago. and it, with a long journey in between. But I did, as a child, have very non-ordinary experiences. They weren't the classic experiences of seeing Grandpa speaking to me as he was transitioning. And so I never really connected what was happening for me with mediumship. I'm sorry?
I said, that's interesting.
I didn't at all. So I had some experiences of spirit communication, but I even didn't think that that was anything that was unusual or different.
Mm-hmm.
So I went down this long path. I was a magazine editor for a lot of years, and then decided that I wanted to become a counselor or a therapist. So I went to graduate school for that, and then I worked as a therapist for 20 some years. And I've had most of my family is in spirit, including my two children. Mm. And with both of those losses, my children were immediately able to communicate with me. Which became such a healing experience for me. And when the second time that I lost my older son, which was 8 years ago, I said to my dearest friend in a tea house in Columbus, Ohio, which is where I lived for many, many years, I said, you know, I'm so grateful that I have these lines of communication, and if there's ever any way that I can be of help to anybody else, and boom, the door opened, I found myself coming here to Lilydale enrolled in a two-year school. Was like, okay, get on the bicycle, we're going. And that powerful motivation is to ease the grief and the loss and the suffering and translate that into joy. Mm-hmm. And translate that into the blessed assurance that our loved ones are well, they're with us. That's quick story of how well
I love that. And, you know, and that's the thing, because as mediums, we work for the spirit world, and the spirit world is always so excited that somebody is willing to play translator for them and be that bridge. And when you can do that for your, you know, that's a very common question. Can mediums receive mediumship visits or information for ourselves, from our loved ones?
That's how it really evolved for me. And, you know, just as each medium has kind of a different skill set or gift potential set, I've had some mediums say, I don't get messages for me at all, but why do they get them for everybody else? But I do, for whatever that's about, and I'm very grateful, have a very strong connection with my loved ones on the spirit side. And actually, after I got about a year into this very intensive training, I began to... every time I opened the door, there was my father, and who's been in spirit since 2006. My father, a lawyer, a golfer, bridge player, he had no interest in anything like this. And as it turns out, he is my gatekeeper. And I see him every time I open the door. He's sitting there in the library of his old law office, and he's got the people all lined up.
Oh, and, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and every time. Every time. And if anybody had ever told me, you and your dad are going to be in business together someday, only he'll be in the spirit world, you'll be here, and he'll be bringing people to you. And
who would have thought that you'd get referrals from your loved ones in spirit as well? And that's what happens.
Yeah.
You know, we get referrals. We get to be known as subject matter experts on things, and they will, you know. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and this journey for me has been a rolling revelation because I'm very grateful that I don't close my mind totally to anything. And when I get the experience and I go, oh, that's what she was talking about. Because I had heard other people say that, we have a doorkeeper and they bring the people in. And I thought, well, that's never happened to me. And then all of a sudden that door opened. And I do find that it's such a collaborative enterprise.
Absolutely.
Opening the door to spirit, being willing to have spirit be in charge. I see myself as a participant, but I don't know who the person that my clients across from me needs to hear from spirit.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know what's in their highest interest. I try to put myself in a position where, as you said, a conduit, a bridge, a channel, bringing through whatever spirit intends for my client with the integrity that I'm giving, but it's up to me to translate it in a way that is affirming and loving and can get through to the
and that's
client in a way that's meaningful to them.
Yeah, and that's incredibly important because we are responsible as mediums for the words that come out of our mouths.
Every word.
And we have to be, interested in, we have to be, truthful to what the spirit is bringing through. We have to be kind and loving. And I should ask, do you find that you set an intention with your work for the kind of information or the kind of spirit person that you're willing to work with?
You know, I haven't done that yet because so far in seven years of doing this as a working medium, I haven't had a negative experience.
That's wonderful.
So I don't know what that's meant to be. Yeah, the perfect. But I haven't had a negative experience. I've had, a couple of readings that have gone off the rails and I wasn't able to make a link, and I've acknowledged that. But that hasn't happened. But what I do set my intention for is before my client even comes in, I open to the spirit world. I thank them for being here. I say, I know the people that my client needs to hear from are already here. Thank you so much. My intention to be of service and set that piece of it. The other thing that's been happening, I am a lifelong learner. That's why it took me so long to get here. I had a lot of paths to go through.
You were researching up until that point.
Yes, I was.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's okay.
So I had no idea what I was being prepared to do.
Right. Well,
But what I'm finding is that the spirit world will bring something through in a very novel way that I haven't received it before. And then once that happens, then it seems to be added to the toolbox, and then they'll bring it through. So I feel like I'm constantly in the classroom of spirit.
Yeah.
In my work.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's sort of that, as mediums, we talk about the cooperative energy between ourselves and the spirit world. That's a great thing. Yeah.
And the client. There's
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. The client's energy too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's your open heart.
Completely a cocktail, as it were. So
maybe that's why they call them spirits.
Yes. There you go. Oh, that was good. I like that. so, it just, I was thinking about, I was very intrigued when you were talking about some of the childhood experiences.
Uh-huh.
And I
uh-huh.
was wondering, would you mind if we go back and sort of elaborate on that a little
yes.
bit?
Be happy to.
Yeah.
I can remember at before I was 2 years old, seeing myself down in my crib from the ceiling. So, you know, so I seem to have a fluidity of self, okay, even as a little one. And then I started to get this information in the middle of the night. And though there was no context for it in my world, I think, you know, the house had Reader's Digest and a few other things and books.
Right.
But there no context for any of this. And we're talking, you know, just after World War II.
Mm-hmm.
But I would get this information in the middle of the night. And though it was something I'd ever heard in my world, in my family and culture and the time, I trusted it because of how it felt. And so I knew that I knew that this was not my first lifetime. I'd had other lifetimes. Nobody was talking about reincarnation back then. But I knew that. And then I began to get information about the previous lifetime and how I passed and how I come back very quickly. I also remember thinking, isn't this interesting that I'm here in the United States. I've never been here before. I have all these memories coming in of lifetimes, primarily in Europe, mm-hmm. but there were some others too. And so there, and then, you know, I would, I knew who to share with early,
mm-hmm.
But I kept looking for my knowledge. And so when I was old enough to go to the library by myself, I'd go back in these musty shelves and I found a book on astrology and I oh, good. So I started teaching myself astrology, and I can tell you, I was 9 years old then. And this was before there were columns, you know, in papers or anybody.
Right.
So one day I came downstairs, and I had mapped my family, and I set up a blackboard in the kitchen on an easel. My mother is, you know, sterilizing bottles on the stove and trying to get ready to feed my baby sister. And I set this up and I said, Mom, I want to explain to you why we're all the way we are. And I'm charting out the family. Now, you know, Dad and his mother, they kind of clash because she's a Leo and he's an Aquarius and Grandpa was a Virgo. That's why his desk looks like it does, and that's why he's taking little pills all the time. Astrology readings at 9. Then I taught myself handwriting analysis, and I was doing that. But I never associated it. I would every once in a while think, where's all this information coming from? A T that looks sharp, I'm getting all this other information with it.
Right.
It took a long time for me to understand that I've been doing this all.
Well, yeah, that makes perfect sense, you know? So, wow. That is a great story. I love it. By the way, we did have a couple of questions that came in over Facebook that I want to make you aware of. So, and the first one was going back to when you were talking about opening the door.
Yes.
So they asked about how you close the door or when you're done. And all uh-huh. of us have sort of slightly different answers about this because we all
yes.
practice slightly differently and we live
yes.
slightly differently. So they're asking about how you close the door when you're done or
uh-huh.
or what would you do when you want to end the session, as it were. So what's your
okay.
your
okay.
take on that?
Okay. So I do preparation before my client comes in. And then, you know, with my client, a little bit of an orientation, how this is going to work and mm-hmm. make sure that they're feeling welcome and comfortable. And then I say my prayer. And when I said my opening prayer, I use the same one consistently. Then I found early on in my training that I'm wired on the left side. Okay, you know, each of us has a little different orientation to the spirit world.
Right.
But for me, everything comes in from the left side. So watching my client, I say the prayer. I've already explained to them I'm wired on the left side so that though I'm with you, I won't be looking at you all the time. For me, the spirit world's over here. Mm-hmm. I don't believe literally the entire world is only in my reading room in Lilydale, but that's my orientation.
Got it.
So then as I finish, I look over there, I see my father sitting in this law library, the people are there, and off we go. And when I finish with the reading, then I do a closing prayer mm-hmm. with my client, and I'm close that off. The other thing that I'm grateful for is that I don't walk around getting continual messages. When I'm off, I'm off.
Right.
And that's always been true for me. So I don't receive, except I always leave one little antenna up, which I learned in my training, so that if spirit needs to, you know, they're welcome to get a hold of me to tell me something, you know, that I need to know. But I don't see people walking around. I don't have, you know, either I'm just not attuned to that, or I'm being, you know, I started late, and so they're giving me a break. Okay, turn it on, turn it off.
I think a lot of that has to do with intention, that you have good boundaries. You know, I can tell you as a neighbor, you know, she's not an intrusive neighbor. And you kind of, so you live your life like that, you know, you're paying attention to your own business, as it were, spiritually and otherwise, you know, very kind, very helpful, but also, you know, you've got plenty to keep you busy. So you don't.
I do. And, you know, I worked for 20 years as a therapist, and so boundaries and having respect to that, you know, is certainly part of my training and experience. So I think I've been able to bring some of that here.
Oh, that makes
do I have bad days? Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, this is a bad hair day, right? Absolutely. You know, I'm as human as absolutely all get out. And but I am grateful for the journey I've taken, because I do think it helps me relate to what other people have gone through and the reasons that they might be seeking some understanding and solace from the spirit world.
Brilliant.
So I'm grateful to them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's the thing, we incorporate all of those life experiences together. So we did have one other question that was coming in, and they phrased it as, is ghost writing considered a form of mediumship? They say that they talk to their spirit guide, but they're a little afraid to open up to spirits who are not specifically that one.
Okay. Great question. Inspired writing certainly is another pathway through which we can receive inspiration and truth and understanding from the spirit world. He or she might want to establish a very strong foundation with the divine, the God of their understanding, and then come from that place, asking, you know, the spirit world, asking your God of your understanding to only open you to these pathways of love and knowledge that are in, you know, the highest and best interest for you and the highest and best interest for others. And I think, you know, establishing that and then dialing into that with prayer, with intention, and also becoming aware of how you feel when you're linked with the divine. What does that feel like in my body? What does that feel like in my emotions? And build that link that is trustworthy. And but it's a beautiful practice to do inspired writing, and I've done some of that myself. And I feel that any way that we can open those bridges of understanding is a value, and it's needed.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for I don't want to say exactly restoration of the soul, because I feel like we're we're perfect as we are. However, sometimes we need, you know, we need to do things to help us. It's like taking vacation, you know, we need to find ways that are healing and renewing for us, you know, especially with everything crazy that's going on. There's always something, you know.
Well, and I'm with you. I feel that the daily practice of prayer and meditation and spiritual and our wellness practices, you know, as a medium or anybody that wants to, you know, to do this work, I feel personally that it's important for us to live as well as we can. Mm-hmm. So paying attention to what we put in our bodies as well as our minds.
Absolutely.
And having a balance, so that we're eating, exercising, you know, taking good care. This body is still of use to the spirit world because I guess they use this body to bring information through. So I try to respect that and take care of it.
Beautiful. So we've got only a few minutes left, actually. But if we could real quickly, there was one other question, and somebody had asked, they leave notes for their son who's on the spirit side of life, and she is wondering if he can see those notes. Does he get mail in spirit?
You know, I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit on that. She has somebody in spirit, and she wants to know if they get mail in spirit.
Yeah, like if she writes them a letter or a note, can they see that?
Sure, absolutely. Write a letter. You know, Art, anything that you're doing, the spirit world has no problem dialing in with us, but you're setting your intention to communicate by writing a letter. That's a beautiful practice. Absolutely. And because it focuses you, it puts you in that place where your intention is to communicate, and that powers you up, and the spirit will come in and receive that.
Beautiful. That is a fabulous answer. I love it. Okay. So we've only got a couple of minutes, literally 2 minutes, a couple minutes left. So is there anything else that you would like to kind of in closing impart your knowledge to our listeners today?
Okay. What I have come to know experientially is that love and joy and humor and compassion and generosity, that's the vibrational signature of the spirit world.
Absolutely.
And when I'm linked, when we're linked with spirit, that's who we are linked with. Most of what we have come to know as scary stuff, that's earth stuff. And goodness knows, if we look around now, there's lots of scary stuff going on here, but that's not the spirit world. And when we come here and when we go back home, we are receiving love and joy. That is the vibration. That's who we are. That's
absolutely.
And summarize.
Thank you very much, Molly Hastings, registered medium in Lilydale. And for it, she will have a show starting on Lilydale Radio starting sometime towards the latter part of June. We will give you an update on the date as things firm up. In the meanwhile, so Molly will be on Tuesdays at 2. On Wednesdays, we have Wednesdays with Willa in the, Tuesday nights, we have Colleen Vanderzijden, Embracing Your Essence. Wednesdays, we have Wednesdays with Willa in the morning. We have Wednesday evenings, we have the Healing Temple service that streams live on our Facebook page. And we also have John White, Journey into the Light. And of course, I am here every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. on Wake Up to Spirit. So until next time, we are wishing you a good day and goodbye.